with a man who has lost everything. For the wife who feels betrayed, the child who is afraid, for the one that is broken by the scars of
I appreciate that singing. I appreciate that testimony. And appreciate this church. Appreciate the choir. Appreciate Brother Keith. Appreciate all the people that it takes to do all the things. You know, you have what you have here because you're willing to work and have it. And I appreciate the people in this church. I'm glad to be here. I enjoy coming to church. I love to preach. I love to study. But I like to be in God's house. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading out of Psalms chapter 127. I'm going to preach on this subject, who is building your house? This is just some scripture that's been on my heart and my mind for several weeks. And, you know, sometimes I'll read over it and I'll pray over it and I'll get my notepad out and I'll write little notes and I'll do that at work and I'll do that at lunch and you know, I'll do that. Sometimes I'll be going down the road and God will give me a thought and I have been known to pull over and just get my notepad out because I've learned, You know how it is when you know God spoke to you. Maybe you have a dream and you wake up and God's speaking to you and you think, oh, I'm tired. I'll get up in the morning and write that down. Next morning you wonder where it went, but you know it was good. But this scripture's kind of been on my heart for several weeks. And if you would, we're going to just ask you to stand to your feet with us. We're going to read two verses of scripture. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to try to bring the message that I believe that God has put on my heart. But this is in Psalms chapter 127, and verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now let us pray. God, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house. And God, I pray that you'd move in amongst us. You'd have your way, Lord, in this service. Have your way in this message. God, give me exactly the words that you'd want me to say. Fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, I know without you, Lord, I cannot do anything. Lord, without you, I cannot make it. Without you, I cannot preach. Without you, I could not go to work tomorrow, Lord, and do my job. Lord, without you, I could not be the husband that I need to be. I could not be the father. Lord, I could not serve in this church, Lord, without you. And God, we're calling on you, we're submitting to you, and we want you, Lord, to be the builder of our house, and we want you to guide us in every way according to your will. God, send your word, let it speak to each heart. Draw, Lord, these people closer to you. God, most importantly, if there's anybody here that's not saved, we pray that you draw them through your Holy Spirit to an altar of repentance that they might come to know you and that they would not perish. This we ask, we pray, believe, and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I mean, we're living in a time today to where I think people are trying to do without God. We're trying to do without God in our homes. We're certainly trying to do without God in our government and in our schools. I looked at a little video this morning that, you know, kind of talked about some of the problems that are going on in schools, some of the problems that are going on in government. But have we forgotten that we voted to kick God out? Have we forgotten that we decided that we did not want God in our school system? We don't want God in our courthouses. We want the Ten Commandments taken off the walls. We don't want God to be the leader anymore. We want to do it our way. And then we look around and we see what's going on in the world and we wonder why it's that way. Well, it's very, very simple. It's because we decided we didn't want God anymore. You know, there are so many homes that have trouble and there are so many lives that are broken. But you know, when I begin to look at it and I begin to talk to them, I've never talked to one home that was broken where a man and a woman that didn't love God together wouldn't come together hand in hand and kneel down at an altar and find a way that God could help them. You see, because the problem is today, we think we can build without God. We think that we can prosper without God. But the scripture says very plainly, you can't. It says it's vain. It's like this. It's like going out to put out a forest fire and all you have is a teaspoon full of water. Because there's nothing that you have the ability to do within yourself to stand and to have power when you turn your back on God. Now I want you to look at this for just a minute and think about what the house is. Except the Lord build the house. Now obviously our home. I want to tell you that I want God in my home. I want God to be the head of my home. Now, you know, as me and a lot of times, you know what the guys want to do. They want to say, well, I'm the head. You know, I'm the boss. Well, you know what I want in my house? I want God to be the boss. Because if God is the head of the home, guys, and you're following God and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're consistent and you're faithful, I promise you, if your wife has any God in her whatsoever, she's going to follow you. But the problem is you want to be boss, and I've seen this too many times. We want to be the big deacon or the big preacher or the big teacher at church, and when we get home, we don't live the same way. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody's going to follow somebody that's living a life of one way over here and a life that's another way over here. Now, when we think about it for just a minute, our house, it's my life. It's me right here. Do I think for one minute that I can go out and say that I'm going to live for God and just make decisions the way that I want them? In other words, can I have things in my house, in my body, that are not pleasing to God? Doesn't you know that the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Lord? And when you put something in your body, you're exposing God to it. And when you are taking of things that are not pleasing to God, don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit is not filling you, because you have, as the scripture says, given place to the devil. Here's what that means. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Here's what you're doing. You're making ground and paving a way to where the devil comes in. And he says, I have a right to be here because of what you have done to yourself. Now let's stop and think about it just a minute. Do we think that God can be mocked? Do we think that we can do whatever we want and God just bless us and God just fill us? The scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, it could be my home. It could be my life. Well, what about my marriage? Folks, I want to tell you something. I want to have a marriage that's a godly marriage. But there are times that I've had to realize that maybe things aren't going good in my marriage because the things coming out of my mouth are not right. Maybe things aren't good in my marriage because my actions hadn't been pleasing to God. And we wonder why things aren't going right, when the reality is, most of the time, 99% of the time, you can blame the devil, you can blame your neighbor, you can blame the world, but all you really need to do is look in the mirror and say, number one is the problem. Because if we're going to have a house that stands, a home, a life, a marriage, even this, a career. What about your career? What about your job? Brother Perry and I were talking for just a minute ago, and you know, we were talking about how God has blessed us. He was talking about how God has blessed him and what he's doing in his business. And I talked about how God has blessed me. And I told him about a time I can remember in my life that I come to the point that I said, I'm going to give my life. And I'm not talking about being saved, because a lot of times people get saved, but they don't live a spirit-filled, abundant life because they never surrender to God. I come to the point in my life that I said, not my will, but your will. You know what that means? That means it's not your will, but God's will, even about the person that you marry, even about the people that you're around, even about the job that you have. But we want to go to work and we want to say, look how smart I am, look how good I am, look how bright I am, and all God's got to do is remove his hand and the devourer can take away everything you try to accomplish. So when I go to work, you know what I'm doing? I'm praying. When the phone rings and there's somebody on the other end, I'm praying. Because I'm not there standing in my ability, but I'm saying, Lord, I need you to build my house. Because the scripture says, they labor in vain that build it without God. So can I have a home? Can I have a life? Can I even have a marriage? Can I have a career that's prosperous without God? Well, the Bible says no. Well, you say, well, people do it every day. Well, they may not know God. But if you know God, you ought to be following God. Yes. Well, what about our city? Now, I want to tell you the way I feel about this church. Folks, I left the church that I pastored for a while because, honestly, I'm just going to tell you, I felt like I needed a mentor. I felt like I needed somebody that could teach me. I went to Bible school. I went to Bible college. I got my bachelor's degree, and then I went on and I got a master's degree, and I'm still going to school. Will be the rest of my life, probably. But I went, and as I began to look for a mentor and I looked for teaching, let me tell you what God taught me. I went into church over here and I was working and I was serving, and I began to look around and I saw things, and I went over here and I looked, and it's amazing what God showed me. He didn't show me what to do. He showed me what not to do. because I saw men get in the pulpit that were demagogues, that acted like dictators, and they would push their agenda rather than the will of God. I've seen men that did not want any accountability because they wanted things just their way, and I saw exactly what not to do. Can I tell you something? It does no good to build a building and have a bunch of people in it if the Word of God is not preached from the pulpit. What good does it be to have 10,000 people? 10,000 people coming, and the pastor interviewed on television, and he says, "We don't talk about sin because it'll offend somebody." I want to ask you something. I heard a preacher say, "Where are you going to run somebody that's one heartbeat out of hell?" We don't want to hear that anymore. That's why the power of God has left our church. That's why that people that claim to know God don't act like it or live like it. And they don't vote like it. Come on. I got to take a breath. See, the scripture says, "Except the Lord keep the city." Here's what we're afraid. Folks, the might of America is not in its military. The might of America is in the fact that this country was founded on biblical principles because people feared God, they believed God, they wanted liberty to worship, and they put these the Constitution in place and the amendments in place, not so that you would not have the ability to pray in school, but to keep you from being hindered to pray in school. I heard a man this week on the radio, and it was supposed to be a man that was a Christian, and he used a verse of Scripture, and here's what come out of his mouth. He said, "I don't know why people push all this stuff. Jesus wasn't American." Now let me tell you something. Do we not understand what the Bible says, that all these things happened as examples unto you and I? God gives us these principles to help us know how to live. And what it says in here is, unless God keeps the city, well, where's the city? Well, number one, folks, this is God's church. It's not man's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. And we want Him to be high and lifted up in this place. And in our country, are we going to gloat in our ability and in our power? God has the way. All God has to do, and this is why I want God in my home, this is why I want God in my life, this is why I want God in my marriage, this is why I want God to go to work with me in the morning. All God has to do is just remove His hand. That's all God's got to do. And you see, what we're seeing in America today, the troubles, the problems, is because we've said, "Get your hand off of us, God." We didn't see God remove His hand. We slapped God's hand out of the way. And we said, "I don't want you in my life. I don't want you touching me. I don't want your direction." And what we've done is we have reaped the consequences. That's exactly what this says. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. See, the basic teaching of this scripture is you cannot do it your way and expect it to prosper. You cannot build your own city. You cannot build your own house. Ultimately, it is vain for you to try to build or think that you will prosper without God. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple of things. What happens when you attempt to build your own house or your own city? Number one, here's what happens. People start with the wrong foundation, and they end up building with the wrong materials. You see, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 10 and 11, he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now, I want to tell you just real plain, this is a church, okay? This is a Bible, okay? We don't come in here and we're not even going to try to pretend to tell you anything other than that Jesus Christ is the only way. Okay, there is no other. There is no equal. It's not a pyramid concept. Islam is not on the inside. Hinduism is not on this side. Buddhism is not on this side. And humanism, folks, is where most people are at. It has no place whatsoever. The only foundation that's ever been laid that can be a foundation of life is Jesus Christ. I wish more. You know, it's a shame to me. But we got preachers today that won't stand up and say that. They won't stand up and tell you that the Bible says, well, look, folks, Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and besides me, nobody.
Nobody.
One foundation. They start with the wrong foundation. See, Jesus is the only true foundation. Acts chapter 4, verse 11, it says, Paul wrote, this, speaking of Christ, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the headstone of the corner. You see, the Bible talks about the cornerstone and the stone which the builders rejected. They're going to be singing some songs about it at Easter. I've been thinking about it. I've been looking at it. I'll probably be all over that for a while. But you know what? It takes Christ. See, the foundation has to be Christ. And here's what I want you to understand. You are not going to have a godly home if God is not in your home. You are not going to be a godly person if you've never have had a personal relationship with God. You see, what we try to do is we say, well, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to be like that over there. And I found that, you know, this particular group over here, they helped me. I want to ask you real plain. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Because if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you are lost and you are on your way to hell and your days are numbered and more preachers need to be spreading the word.
Amen.
See, you start with the wrong foundation, and when you have the wrong foundation, you build with the wrong materials. You build with worldly wisdom and worldly understanding. That's why, and you know, you ever go down the road and you're driving past the elementary school or you're driving past the middle school and you see the word of the week. You know what the word of the week is? The word of the week is man's wisdom and attempts to educate and make moral good people without God. Now, folks, I'm not against the word of the week. Sometimes I can preach the words. But let me tell you something. How good do you think you're going to be without God? How kind do you, you know, it's even like kindness. How kind do you think you can be without God? How humble do you think you can be without God? How tolerant do you think you can even be without God? How merciful do you think that you can be without God? See, in Colossians 2:8, the scripture says, beware. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. It says, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, we start with the wrong foundation, we build with the wrong materials, and in the process, because we really aren't being led by the Spirit of God, it's hard for us to have discernment. That's why what happens is we start bringing the wrong things into our home. See, when you start bringing the wrong things into your home, that just like I said in the scripture in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil, we're giving power to the enemy. Now, some people just don't want to hear that. They don't want to believe that. But I want to tell you something, folks. If there's things in your house that are not pleasing to God, you can't come to service on Sunday morning and pray that God would pour out heaven on you and it just be poured down and it be all right, because you have something riding on your back. You brought him with you. You see, they build with the wrong materials. They bring the wrong things in. And then they begin to have a distorted vision about what the house should actually be. Because they struggle because their priorities are wrong. Priorities are wrong and then values are wrong. You see, we're living in a country today that they say, oh, we have values. They're just not the values you have. You know who they're talking about? They're talking about us.
That's right.
They say, oh, we have values. Well, what values? And here's what I want us to understand. And folks, I'm just trying to say the things that are on my heart. If our values don't line up with this, if they don't line up with the Word of God, what does it say? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So if our priorities aren't in line with the Word of God, our values aren't lined up with the Word of God, guess what? Our understanding is wrong.
Amen.
Why? Because we've attempted to build our own house, and we built it with our own understanding, with the wrong foundation, the wrong materials. Then all of a sudden we get to the point, it's like where we're at today in America with secularization, we begin to even struggle understanding the difference between right and wrong. Do you know that's where a lot of people are today? That's where a lot of young people are today. That's why they can do the things that they do. Do you ever watch some of the things that are going on? Sometimes I watch some of the rioting, and sometimes I watch some of the evil and some of the things that are happening around the country. And in my mind, here's what happens. I think, I don't understand how people can do that. But because their foundation is wrong, because what they've been built with is wrong, because the things that they've been taught as values are wrong, they begin to even have a distorted view and understanding of even what right and wrong is. And that's where we're at today. That's why people get killed for their tennis shoes. That's why people lose their life over their cell phones. And you say, well, you know, they shouldn't have went down that dark alley. Folks, it's not a dark alley. It's 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 14-year-old kids that are doing it. Why? Because mama and daddy have not brought them to the house of God, taught them the things of God.
Amen.
See, you start with the wrong foundation. You build with the wrong materials. And number two, you end up having a distorted or a false sense of accomplishment. It's when you begin to value the wrong things. Now you think about this for just a minute. The Bible talks about a time that'll come, and it talks about the people of God, that they will kill you, the people of God, and think that they do God service. Okay? Did they not do that? Did Jesus not accuse the scribes and the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter of Matthew? He said, what did he say to them? He said, you are the ones who made the graves of the prophets. They pretend and outwardly they look religious and godly because their values and what they value is so distorted. They have a distorted or a false sense of accomplishment by valuing the wrong things and not valuing the things that they should. That's why we're in a country today to where we praise the wrong things. What will we do? We'll make a hero out of a football player who does nothing but get up there. He's not giving honor and glory to God. And when we'll let somebody that goes to war and fights for our country and then makes the supreme sacrifice, folks, I want to tell you, that's somebody that can be a hero. We've made heroes out of the wrong people and out of the wrong things. That's why we spend millions of dollars having Academy Awards and most of the movies that they're talking about. I wouldn't even want them in my house.
Amen.
Because we have labored in vain. See, except the Lord build a house, except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Says it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. And here's one that troubles me. The next point is you end up with a false sense of security. See, we trust in the wrong things. In Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7, the scripture says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, there's a verse of scripture that kind of gives you some insight into that. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And folks, anytime you see this name Egypt in scripture in this context, it is a type in the Old Testament of the world. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. See, Egypt is a type of the world. And sometimes people end up with a false sense of security because we trust in what we have. We trust in what we were able to accomplish. We trust falsely in our military. We trust falsely in the stock market. We trust falsely in the things of the world, when the truth is, God is our provider, God is our helper, God is our keeper, and without Him, we would have nothing.
Amen.
You see, sometimes when I begin to talk to people, and I really, at work, I avoid politics as much as I possibly can. And I mean, that's not my job even. My job is to preach the Word of God, and I know that. But you know, sometimes people, they get so involved in looking at all these other things that they forget that we serve a living God. And when we're making decisions about anything in our life, we should make them looking to Him, not looking at this world. And the problem when you're trying to build a home or a city or a foundation that's without God is you get a false sense of security because you think that and don't for 1 minute think there's any security in the things of this world. You know, I've tried to save. I want to save. Folks, I want to retire. I do. I'd love to go play golf, y'all. I'm just too busy. But you know, the truth is, we don't know from one day to the next. You know, we turn on the news and there's stuff going on all over the world. If you're not careful, guess what? You'll lose sleep. You'll begin to worry about it. You'll begin to think about it. It'll be on your mind. But you know where our help and our hope is? It's in Christ. And when our foundation is built in Him, one thing that we know, as Paul said, we have a place eternal with Him in the heavens. And we're going to be with Him, and we're going to be under His control and His hand as long as we're here. But why? People have a false sense of security. They depend on things that are perishing. See, what we are, if our foundation is in Christ, our ultimate dependence is on something that cannot perish, that cannot fade away, that cannot be destroyed, because it's eternal in the heavens with the Lord. The fourth thing, when you build your own house, as you reap the consequences of your building. See, it's kind of like this. What you build is what you get. You see, the Bible tells us that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But if you've ever built anything, you know what you build is what you get. You know, there are codes and there are things that you have to do to put in the foundation, and then you put down your treated wood down on the concrete, and there are things that you have to do to make sure that the structure is going to stand. But when people are building a life and they're building without God, ultimately be assured, just because it looks good today doesn't mean it's going to stay good. See, the scripture in Hosea chapter number 8 and verse number 7, a very strong verse, says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." In other words, you know what? It's almost like this: what you do in moderation, you will reap in excess. That's why when I read the Word of God and I begin to look at these verses, and when I look at what's going on in our land, folks, it's time to call for revival. You know, every time I study a message like this, here's what the devil does to me. He comes to me and he says, "You don't want to preach that." He said, "People don't want to hear that anymore. People don't want that type of preaching anymore. People don't want that kind of living anymore. And you're never going to build a church that's a big church if you preach like that." You know, ultimately, and I listen to the devil and I preach to y'all about the devil. You know what I end up having to do? I have to go into my prayer closet and I have to bow to God and understand that He called me, understand that I serve Him, and understand that as a man of God, I want you to understand there's going to be a lot of preachers in America today when Jesus come back that are going to stand before Him with blood dripping from their hands because they did not declare the truth or the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
And I say, "Yes, Lord." The fifth one is your foundation won't hold its ground. A foundation without God, the scripture says, is like a foundation on the sand. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 24. Jesus is talking about two foundations. And He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house on a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for that it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a fool, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, if you look through history, and history does teach us a lot of things, you don't see where any nation turns their back on God and prosper.
Right.
See, your foundation won't hold its ground if it's not built on Christ. It's like building on the sand. I was up in Wisconsin a couple of years ago, and we were sitting there having dinner, and I looked out across the way, across the road from where we were, and there was a huge, beautiful stone building. The entire outside of the building was granite. And it was polished, it was beautiful, it had light shining up from the ground on it. It was a beautiful spectacle of architecture. And I made the comment to the people I was there with about the building, and they said, yeah, it is beautiful. They said, but that building is sinking. I said, sinking? And they began to tell me a story about how that building on one side had already sank 2 feet into the ground. And they went over there and they did some testing, and they found that because the foundation was not put in properly, that building was going to continue to sink, and they were estimating about how much time that they had until it had to be condemned. And as I look at it and I begin to think about this scripture, how much of our life is like that? You know, if you want the things of God, you can have them. If you want peace with God, you can have it. But the foundation's got to be right. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 28 and verse number 29, says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see, here's what troubles me about this type of study or this type of thing or looking at our world. As I wonder, when we really get to the point that some people begin to cry out, for some, the truth is, it's going to be too late. See, because you can get warning after warning, and you can get word after word, and God can show mercy after mercy. If you look at your Bible, some historical facts, and I begin to think about this, and I understood some did understand what it meant to build God's way. Here's building God's way. Jabez understood. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 10, the scripture says that Jabez called upon the name of the Lord, on the God of Israel, saying, O God, O that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez understood what it meant to have the Lord build your house. It's amazing when you read the scripture and you're rocking along and it's name after name after name, and it gets to Jabez, but he cried out to God. Scripture says God blessed him. And folks, that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for every person in this church. Tell you another one that understood what it meant to have the Lord build a house was David. King David in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then you go over to the New Testament and you find where Paul wrote, he said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Then in another place he wrote and he said, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Everything you do, do it for God. But then I begin to think about others that did not understand what it meant to let the Lord build your house. In the book of Judges, there's a story of a man whose name is Samson. God chose him, God blessed him, but he was a lot like a lot of folks today. Had every opportunity that he could have to be blessed, but he just couldn't stay away from places and things that he didn't need to be around. One day, you know, he had this person in his life that he really should have probably gotten far away from. Time after time after time, she tried, Delilah, tried to get Samson to reveal to her where his great strength lied. He told her a couple of different times. He said, if you'd bind me with new ropes. It's amazing to me that people continue in this cycle, but here's where people, a lot of people are at. You know, didn't he get it? You bind me with new ropes? Well, he woke up. The Philistines are upon you. Pop. The ropes. Then there was another time he said, if you'd weave my hair in this weave. Well, he jumped up and he run out with a weave hanging off the back of his head. Eventually, he should have realized, that's an evil woman. But you know, one day she just pressed him and she pressed him and she pressed him. And he finally told her. He said, my head has never been shaved. He said, if you shave my head, my strength is gone and I'm as any other man. You know, the scripture tells the story that when she knew that she had gotten all of his heart, she called for the Philistines. She'd sold him out. Let me tell you something, folks. The world will sell you out. The devil will sell you out. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He wants to be Lord of your home and your house. All God wants to do is bless you. All God wants to do is bless America. Well, Samson jumped up, and this is what he said. He said, I will go out as I did at other times, and I'll be delivered. But the scripture says he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. And this time when he went out, they beat him down. And they beat him down farther, and they put out his eyes. And they put him in the mill to grind. Why? Because he had forgotten who built his house. Another place in the New Testament in Luke chapter number 12 is the story of the rich man. He fared sumptuously. He had great things. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and I'll build bigger barns because everything that man had was his. See, he built his own house. He built it out of his ability. He built it out of his strength. But the word of the Lord came to him and he said, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all of those things be? You know, we can come in, we can deny God, we can stick our chest out at God, but all it takes is one little tiny blood clot. Flowing in your veins, getting lodged in your heart or your lungs or your mind, and you could be living, no control whatsoever over your life. All it takes is one cell mutating. And you could have cancer, and you could have it right now and not know it, and your life could be taken. All it takes is one little vessel in your heart to burst. And we think for one minute that we have the ability to stand and shake our finger in the face of God and shake our fist at God and think that we won't be accountable. Amen. Samson learned. The rich man learned. And folks, God reminds me of it. Who's building my house? Who's the head and the Lord of my life? See, if your foundation doesn't lie in Christ, and we're going to sing in just a minute, you need Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder, I don't know what people who don't know the Lord or aren't, and I know everybody's, when you say, preacher, everybody's not going to be like you. You don't have to be. God didn't call you to be just like me. God wants to be you to be the best you can be, okay? That's all. But how do people that don't believe in God, I don't know how they make it day to day. So you get up in the morning, you go outside, and you see this beautiful sunshine, and you got the four seasons, the earth spinning on its axis, and God allows us to be here, and he allows us to live. Where do you think you come from? Why do you think you're here? And I'll tell you, where do you think you're going? See, if you don't know Christ, your foundation's not right. You're not going to be building with the right stuff. And this is the most important thing about what I'll say, and I'm going to ask them to come and sing. The real problem with it is when you build without God, what you build will not stand in eternity. See, one thing I realize, every day that passes, life is a vapor. Appeareth for a short time and then it vanishes away. Sometimes I look back and I think, boy, I wish I'd invested a little earlier. Sometimes I look back and I think about decisions I made. I even think about things I did that I wish I hadn't done. I can't change none of that, and you can't either. But I'll tell you one thing. Every time I study a message like this, I say, God, God, put your hand on me. Put your hand over my mouth that I wouldn't say things that are not pleasing to you. Put your hand on my heart and on my life that I'd live a life that's pleasing to you. And help me, Lord, to help everybody that I can understand that eternity is waiting. I want to ask you to rise to your feet this morning. If God, if you're here and God spoke to your heart, I'll tell you, the most important decision you will ever make in your life, it's not who you're going to marry. It's not where you're going to go to school. It's not whether or not you will take that job or move away. Not whether or not you go buy that first new car. Not whether or not you get into a house or an apartment. See, people think about all that. That's nothing. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is whether or not you will respond to the call of the Holy Spirit when God speaks to your heart and you accept Christ as your personal Savior. Because when you turn away the Holy Spirit, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to build it my way, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm just going to take my chances. I want you to know that we're here today in this country because God has blessed America.
Amen.
And we're experiencing what we have because people pray. Now, I want to ask you, if you're here and you know God, would you pray? And if you're here and God spoke to you, still early, we got just a few minutes. This is the most important part of the service. Would you come?